Chapter 13. Robert Langdon felt a swell of panic as he stood at the apartment window, eyes riveted on the hotel across the street. The spike-haired woman had just entered, but Langdon could not fathom how she had gotten the address. Adrenaline coursed through his system, disjointing his thought process once again. My own government sent someone to kill me? Sienna looked equally astounded.
Robert, that means the original attempt on your life at the hospital was also sanctioned by your government.
She got up and double-checked the lock on the apartment door.
If the U.S. consulate has permission to kill you...
She didn't finish the thought, but she didn't have to. The implications were terrifying.
What the hell do they think I did? Why is my own government hunting me?
Once again, Langdon heard the two words he had apparently been mumbling when he staggered into the hospital.
Very sorry. Very sorry.
You're not safe here, Sienna said. We're not safe here.
She motioned across the street.
That woman saw us flee the hospital together, and I'm betting your government and the police are already trying to track me down. My apartment is a sublet in someone else's name, but they'll find me eventually.
She turned her attention to the biotube on the table.
You need to open that right now.
Langdon eyed the titanium device, seeing only the biohazard symbol.
Whatever's inside that tube, Sienna said, probably has an ID code, an agency sticker, a phone number, something. You need information. I need information. Your government killed my friend.
The pain in Sienna's voice shook Langdon from his thoughts, and he nodded, knowing she was correct.
Yes, I'm very sorry.
Langdon cringed, hearing those words again. He turned to the canister on the table, wondering what answers might be hidden inside. It could be incredibly dangerous to open this. Sienna thought for a moment.
Whatever's inside will be exceptionally well contained, probably in a shatterproof plexiglass test tube. This biotube is just an outer shell to provide additional security during transport.
Langdon looked out the window at the black motorcycle parked in front of the hotel. The woman had not yet come out, but she would soon figure out that Langdon was not there. He wondered what her next move would be, and how long it would take before she was pounding on the apartment door. Langdon made up his mind. He lifted the titanium tube and reluctantly placed his thumb on the biometric pad. After a moment, the canister pinged and then clicked loudly. Before the tube could lock itself again, Langdon twisted the two halves against each other in opposite directions. After a quarter turn, the canister pinged a second time, and Langdon knew he was committed. Langdon's hands felt sweaty as he continued unscrewing the tube. The two halves turned smoothly on perfectly machined threads. He kept twisting, feeling as if he were about to open a precious Russian nesting doll, except that he had no idea what might fall out. After five turns, the two halves released. With a deep breath, Langdon gently pulled them apart. The gap between the halves widened, and a foam rubber interior slid out. Langdon laid it on the table. The protective padding vaguely resembled an elongated Nerf football.
Here goes nothing.
Langdon gently folded back the top of the protective foam, finally revealing the object nestled inside. Sienna stared down at the contents and cocked her head, looking puzzled.
Definitely not what I expected.
Langdon had anticipated some kind of futuristic-looking vial, but the content of the biotube was anything but modern. The ornately carved object appeared to be made of ivory and was approximately the size of a roll of lifesavers.
It looks old, Sienna whispered. Some kind of
cylinder seal, Langdon told her, finally permitting himself to exhale. Invented by the Sumerians in 3500 BC, cylinder seals were the precursors to the intaglio form of printmaking. Carved with decorative images, a seal contained a hollow shaft through which an axle pin was inserted so the carved drum could be rolled like a modern paint roller across wet clay or terracotta to imprint a recurring band of symbols, images, or text.